Come on, then.
Knights and knaves, from Camelot to Concord.
All right. We'll call it a draw.
Welcome to the Warriors Roundtable, delivered by DoorDash, your door to all things basketball.
On the right wing, in and out dribble, between the legs, offer step, wide open, left wing, three, Gucci!
Behold, King Kevin Danner.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, I'm very nice.
And the saint, Gary St. Jean.
Hello. We welcome to the Warriors Roundtable here on 95.7 The Game. If you want to hit up the saintly one and myself, Gary St. Jean, Kevin Danner, rocking with you. 888-957-9570 is the number. And Saint, obviously, this week it's trade deadline Thursday. There have been a ton of moves made. I've been in the air mostly coming to you from Berg. So I've landed one place. I know Anthony Davis got traded to the Washington Wizards. I landed another place. Oh, Lonzo Ball got traded to the Utah Jazz. But what like for a front office, a team, a coaching staff, like we are less than 24 hours from the trade deadline. What's going on in these offices?
Well, one thing you try to do is remember that these guys you try to treat them with respect. And with that said, you're honest with them. And you tell them that it's a business, that it's not personal. What you're trying to do is make the team better or the best it can be. And sometimes you have to move on. I can share with you as a coach, it's tough to say goodbye watching a guy who gave his heart for you. And as a GM, I never enjoyed those phone calls telling a guy, you know, we've made a trade. We're going to make some changes. You're going to be going to such and such. And thank you for your efforts. And I hope you and your family move on to better things. But it's we're human. You know, you get attached to people. And it's difficult. And I'll tell you, for a player, it's tough. You know, you're hearing all, and today's world's tougher than my day because you're hearing all these rumors morning, noon, and night. And you're reading all this kind of stuff. And, you know, what's going on now, Kev, is so advanced from my days because they got this thing. You probably know the name of it. They can go to their iPad and go to this app and they can pull out the abilities to see if trades work, and they're reaching all over the place. For example, that Davis deal had three or four other guys with marginal contracts moving back and forth. Why that happened, I'm not quite sure. But I never enjoyed these days. I'll share with you if you want a couple examples that were really tough. One was Mitch Richmond. We were in the hotel in Denver about to play the first game of the year. And we made a trade that I look back on, it wasn't very good. We got Billy Owens and something else for Mitch to the Kings. And we called Mitch to Nelly's suite and told him there. And Nelly said, you know, walk him to the elevator. So I'm walking him to the elevator. He's crying. I got tears in my eyes. And, you know, I loved Mitch. And, but for me, it was a big factor in me getting the Kings job the next year because Mitch was the driving force getting me up there. And, you know, I can go on and I've been on airplanes where guys, when we flew, we didn't charter and guys got off the plane and we had a deal done. All kinds of stuff. And, you know, even in the circle at practice, call the guys in and say, I give you one. You know, this the Garland kid who got traded today for Harden. So he didn't like being the backup to the rookie named Tim Hardaway. So he asked if he could be traded. So at the end of practice, okay, fellas, bring it in. Say goodbye to Winnie. He's going to the Clippers. And everybody looked and went, what? And now off he went because he was a very, very popular guy on that team. And that's, it's tough. I got a lot of stories, but it's a lot of it's not fun.
Man, it's got to be a really tough time I'm curious to get your perspective on this, because Steve Kerr mentioned last night it was not a good performance for the Warriors. Got blown out really at home by the Philadelphia 76ers, 113-94. And I imagine it's got to be tough as coaches and players to play through the trade deadline and win. And it's so near. He mentioned that trade talks could have played a role in last night's effort, but it's one of those things you just got to grit through it. But what do you think about that? How tough is it to play during this time of season?
No, I think it can really grab a team without a doubt. And I could see it early in the game. They didn't look like they were there, and their minds were somewhere else. And that's human nature, you know, because there's a lot of talk, you know, is Adekunpo coming here? Who's involved in the trade? And on we go. And it's, you know, people like to play games and make all these picks themselves and moves and all this kind of thing. It's a tough happening. And I can also tell you, as a GM, you're on the phone. I remember sleeping in the equipment room. Eric Housen had a twin bed, a bunk bed. I was afraid to get on the upper one because I thought I might fall off. So I slept on the lower one, took a shower, because with the 3-hour time change back east, I made sure I was up at like 5 o'clock in the morning to be calling guys at 8 in the morning back east. Yeah, there's a lot of stories. And I'll tell you another thing you do. You eat a lot just out of nervous energy. You know, you're bringing food in, and it's kind of crazy. Whereas the draft is a lot more fun than this time of the year.
Yeah, that's a lot of nervous energy going on for sure. And you mentioned kind of guys wondering where they might be playing. Draymond Green got really introspective after the loss to Philadelphia. Let's first hear from him a couple of sound bites to play. First, let's hear him talk about how grateful he has been for the run. You know, if it ends, it ends. This is what he had to say yesterday.
Guys that have been on the move every year, moving their family 2-3 times in a year. So I have so much gratitude for where I am in my career, the run that I've been on here. And like I said, I don't know that it ends or whatnot. I don't. We'll all see. But if it does, it does. You know, all good things must come to an end at some point. And so, yeah, that's kind of my sentiment, you know, and how I feel.
Pretty darn mature statement right there from a veteran guy who's been on 4 championship teams. He understands how blessed he's been to be on one team for 13 plus years. And, you know, he knows that after Luka got traded last year, now the rest of the league knows anybody can be traded. And today we see Harden getting traded and we see Davis getting traded. Well, those are perennial all-stars. So there's more movement now than maybe there used to be.
Yeah, no, that's a good point for sure. You know, it'll be interesting to see how these next, I guess, what, 18 hours play out before the trade deadline finally reaches us at noon Pacific. A lot to get to on this show. We're going to talk about the Philly game. We're going to talk about the Detroit Pistons, of course. So what's going on around the NBA? So much going on around the association this time of year. And it's been a more active trade deadline than I think people really thought at the beginning of this week. You're thinking, all right, yeah, maybe there's not going to be a whole lot of movement. But, man, there certainly has been these last couple of days. We're going to take a quick break when we come back into all these topics and more right here on 95.7 The Game.
After some heated debate.
Are you suggesting coconuts migrate? Not at all. They could be carried. A swallow carrying a coconut?
The Warriors Roundtable is back on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back to Warriors Roundtable here on 95.7 The Game. Kevin Dan alongside Gary St. Jean. You want to get in on the fun? Hit us up, 888-957-9570. The Warriors losing to the Philadelphia 76ers last night, 113-94. And Saint, this is just kind of the reality. Without Stephen Curry, and especially without Stephen Curry and Jimmy Butler, the Warriors clearly just don't have have enough. And it's like you can get hot for a quarter, like they hit 8 threes in the first quarter. But to sustain that for over 48 minutes, it isn't going to work. I mean, they scored 62 points over the last 36 minutes of that game. And while that might work in 1998 in the Eastern Conference, it's not going to work in 2026 in today's NBA. And this was super evident last night.
You know, it's kind of a very different kind of game. I can't remember. I'm sure I've been around a few. We only get two free throws. And, you know, Nemesis again was turnovers. I frankly thought they might get that win even though Steph wasn't playing because Philadelphia has been playing very good. And that's because the big guy is back and he's been playing really, really well. But I got to tip my hat to them. They've got a lot of small or wing players. I love the rookie Edgecombe, and what can we say about Maxey and Grimes? And they got a heck of a crew there. And if they're healthy, they can make some noise in the Eastern Conference. You know, the big trade with Harden going to Cleveland. Knicks are standing pat. And so it's going to be really interesting. But I was impressed by what they put out there last night. I thought they played well. And obviously it wasn't the Warriors' best game.
Yeah, no, it certainly was Warriors' best game. And I've heard I listen to the Windhorse podcast a lot, the Hoop Collective. And routinely, Tim Bontemps on there will say, if the Sixers are healthy, they might have the most talented team in the Eastern Conference. Do you agree with that?
Close. Like, to me, Boston has the least. What they've done is –
yeah,
fantastic. And Hart's not playing tonight for the Knicks. And that's a 2-point game right now with Denver. And you know, Cleveland might change now. They might be better because, you know, I talked about Winston Garland, the father of Darius Garland. And so I'm always pulling for that guy. But I think my big toes are in better shape than his. And I'm going to be 76 next week. I got to tell you, that guy's hurt all the time, and I'm pulling for him all the time. So we'll see how that all fits. But as everybody said, the biggest disappointment to me in the East is definitely Orlando. They've went south on me. I thought they were ready to have a heck of a year. So the East is wide open, whereas this thing out here, holy mackerels, this is like the Bataan Death March. I mean, you got to battle every single night. You know, there's nothing weak about it. Every week I watch this and I'm like, and you know what? Listen, as I said before, you may sound sour grapes. Maybe they're not going to get in the top six, our Warriors. But when Steph gets back, get yourself a cold one, maybe a little red juice. I can give you some. And you sit down and watch that guy play. And I challenge you to tell me anybody is more delightful to watch in the NBA. And I like what some of these guys are doing. And there's going to be no embarrassment if they wind up 7 or 8. Right now, you got Phoenix. Man, they've shocked the heck out of me. If you told me that Dylan Brooks was going to average 22 points a game and be the key guy on that team, Booker has sacrificed. And what they've done is amazing to me. Nothing but praise for them. So, you know, maybe we're going to be in the play-in. You know, hey, just do the best you can. And when you get there, you may shock some people.
Yeah, no, that's the attitude you got to have at this point. Warriors 27-24, firmly in eighth at the moment. Back to the Philadelphia game. I do want to talk about the three-point shooting and the abundance of it. It's 62% of their shots were from three in this game, 48 of their 78. In the fourth quarter alone, Saint, they took 14 threes and 6 twos. And you just think back to 5-10 years ago, and that would be blasphemous. But kind of considering who the Warriors had available, that was the game plan. They did hit 19 of 48 from three, but they weren't super successful inside the arc. And also, kind of as an aside, Saint, this was a three-point shooting day for the organization. Santa Cruz put up 59 threes in their game 59? Earlier in the day. 59. It was a franchise record in the G League for Santa Cruz, that is. Under 20, I think. It was not a good game. They got the doors blown off them. They only had eight guys. Like, Malachi Leones had to go up to Golden State because of the injuries. LJ Cryer's been hurt, and so they didn't have their guys available either. So just kind of one of those things that the Avalanche trickled down to the G League team. But, yeah, there were a lot of three-point shots put up by the Warrior organization yesterday, 107 of them to be in fact between the two teams.
Listen, it's today's game. It's playing five out. I just like to have the ball handler touch the paint. Just dribble to the paint and then kick it out. Instead of these first side hand grenades they're launching. Off the bounce. Do you know the difference in percentages between makes off the dribble and on the catch is really big?
Oh, yeah.
And it's a funny thing. If you come over here to Danville and come to my driveway – and I got a deal with William now. I said, okay, William, we got to take 10 minutes and go to school. And I'll take an aspect of the game and start talking to him about it. So now I'm showing him how to play pick and roll. And he's the ball handler and reading the guy going under over the screen and teaching him how to roll and all this kind of thing. So the other day, Kev, I started to get him down in the low post. And he's a lefty. Okay. So I had him step, slide, and take a nice hook. Then I thought about it afterward, and I said, what the heck am I teaching him? There's no low post play. What am I doing? You know, maybe you catch down there and score in the paint, but there's nobody on the box. So the teacher had to go back and look at his syllabus as to what he's going to teach the student. And it's amazing to me the way the game's being played. I'm just flabbergasted. I don't know. I've been told – it's a game that's cyclical, and maybe we'll come back to playing more paint touches. I sure don't, you know, I'm not an analytics guy, but I sure like two-point shots, you know, these pull-ups. I love Brunson. I love his footwork when he gets in the paint there, and he's dancing everybody back and forth. And, you know, I look at a guy like Podzimski. I think he can get into paint and have a beautiful floater or a nice, you know, footwork action in there. To me, he probably could be the best of all the guys. And I'm old school, and I'm like this is, I don't think you can win like this.
Yeah, I mean, you know, one thing that I've really started to pay attention to more, and it's caught my eye over the G League, when you see guys, there'll be so many guys in the G League that'll shoot like 38% from three, but like 39% from the field overall.
Really?
And so I'm looking more at like two-point field goal percentage. Yeah, you'll just see guys who like, they'll have I can't tell you how many times I've seen a guy go like 5 of 15 from the field in the G League, but 4 of 10 on threes or 5 of 10 on threes, and they can't hit any of their twos. And this brings me to Stephen Curry, because age 37 at 0.9 basically, he is shooting 58% on twos this year. And like the 2-point percentage for guards is almost a lost art, or it's something that we don't discuss enough, because Steph, throughout his career, he is consistently well above 50 on twos. He has done it 13 straight seasons now, 50% plus on twos. He's only had three of his 17 seasons where he's been sub 50 on twos, and those years, 50%, 47%, and 45%. And it's just, I just feel like there's been so much of an emphasis on threes. And look, I love three-point shots. I love watching it. It does not bother me at all. But like at some point, you have to be able to finish in the mid-range, and you have to be able to finish around the rim. And that's something that I think we talk about Steph being the best shooter of all time. How about him being one of the best finishers of all time?
Yeah.
And one of the best shot makers.
That's a great breakdown. Yes. And I got to tell you, we talk about player development coaches. And I'm sure, I got to believe that they're working a lot with players on two-foot stop, jump stop, and that 12 to 14-foot jump shot. And I know they must be practicing runners from about 8 feet. I don't think they're practicing finger rolls like George Gervin, but I will tell you, Steph Curry, when you take a look at his body when he first started, and look at him now. Now, I know he's the master of getting the thing up on the board and getting the English or the spin on it. But what we should note with him is a good guard going into the paint initiates contact against the shot blocker. You can't go in there and just go up and over them. You got to hit them, and you knock them east-west with an inside shoulder so that then you can go north-south to finish. And the knack of getting it up and over a guy. He is phenomenal at that. And that frustrates the heck out of a big guy. That drives them nuts when a guard comes in there and just gets something beautiful. As my man Bill Raftery would say, a little kiss, you know, when you put it off the glass.
A little kiss. Yes, you know I love it.
He was doing the games when I was coaching with the Nets. You talk about one of the all-time great people in the history of the NBA and college basketball. I could go on and on and on there. But that's one of the things about Steph. You're right on. It's underappreciated. Who else do you – Brunson's a pretty good layup guy.
Brunson's really good at that. More. Yep.
I would say Morant is, but he never plays. He plays once a month. There's some, but there's not many.
The Santa Cruz Warriors are back at Chase Center. Bring your family on Sunday, March 1st to watch them take on the San Diego Clippers. Plus, the first 10,000 fans will score Santa Cruz Warriors. Jimmy Butler, the third bobblehead. Get your tickets now at ChaseCenter.com. We'll take a break. Come on back. Take your calls, 888-957-9570, right here on 95.7 The Game.
After some heated debate.
Are you suggesting coconuts migrate? Not at all. They could be carried. A swallow carrying a coconut?
The Warriors Roundtable is back on 95.7 The Game.
Back here on Warriors Roundtable on 95.7 The Game. Kevin Dana, Gary St. Jean rocking with you for the next 20 minutes or so. We're going to have an interview we'll play for you that Tim Roy did with Eddie Hart, Olympian. Track and field guy who's going into the Bay Area Sports Hall of Fame in May. He's a big Warriors fan. He attended the Warriors game on Friday night. Saw them play a spirited contest against the Detroit Pistons, a 131-124 loss for the Warriors in that one. As we take a look forward, the Warriors are going to be on the move. They will be in Phoenix on Thursday. And Saint, you were talking about this earlier. And we've kind of said this all season long. You and I have been waiting for Phoenix to come back to earth, to fall off. Well, not only has that not happened, they've gotten stronger. They're up to sixth in the West, and they're only three games out of second. I mean, how much noise can they really make going forward? Because we're still waiting for them to fall off a cliff. I don't think it's going to happen.
No, I think you're spot on. And if you told me that Gillespie was going to have the year he's having, you know, the guy's a terrific athlete. He's another Villanova guy with great presence and footwork and intelligence. He's had a terrific year for them. And then for the last 10 days or so, Booker hasn't played. But you know what? He's taken a less dominant role to help the team win. And I respect that so much. And, you know, Booker's I look at this team and the sum is better than the parts. I think this guy the new coach has done a fabulous job. And I don't like giving a lot of praise to Brooks. He's one of the guys I don't care for. But my gosh, that guy has done a fantastic job. You watch him, he's talking baloney to Steph. He's talking baloney to LeBron. You name it, anybody. And this year, he's kind of backing it up. I got to give the guy credit. They've had a great year, and I don't think they're going to go below seven, Kev.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I don't think they're going below seven either. They have been really, really solid. Again, if you want to hit us up, 888-957-9570. Let's head out to Brad in Oakland, who wants to talk a little Draymond Green. What's up, Brad?
I haven't been on the station for about a year or two. You guys don't know me, but I've been watching Draymond and Steph and Clay since they was in college. Clay was a shooter. Steph could just shoot his butt off when he played in college. He almost went to the final, 4 or 8. And so I saw when they first came to the Warriors, and I saw when Draymond was on the bench, and he came and started. Okay, because I'm 73 now, right?
So you're almost as old as me, Brad.
But what
you're
I'm trying to say
as
is
old
that
as
I don't believe
because you remember David Lee.
Yeah, I remember David Lee. David Lee was starting. He was a great guy, you know. He was really great, but they played there with Draymond. So I remember all of them. But what I'm trying to say is, I don't believe Draymond is going to get traded. Okay, I believe if they try to get Giannis, they're going to have to try to infiltrate him into the Warriors movie system. You know, pass the ball, spacing. Yep. I don't think that Giannis is going to be. I believe he's going to just be going 1-on-1, trying to shoot threes, and I don't think that's going to be great. But I believe they can find somebody other than Giannis that would do just the job of Giannis. They might not be able to go bang bang and get the rebounds like he does, but there's somebody out there that can do what they do. May not be as talented, and I don't believe that's why I don't think they're going to get rid of. Paz. I know they might trade Paz because, you know, the fans don't like Paz. He holds the ball too long, right? but that's my intuition. I'm like Moody. He's coming along pretty good. Paz, he's trying to. I think Paz was Kerr's project. That's Kerr's project, okay? And that's why I think they have a hard time not letting him get experience. So that's all I'm saying. I don't think they're going to trade Draymond. I believe they're going to try to stay within their means in terms of the offense. They got Post. They got, you know, they got Moody. They got I believe they're going to trade J.K. Kuminga.
Okay.
Jackson.
Yeah.
I believe they're going to trade them. But I bet Draymond's going to still be on the team. And what about this thing about Draymond is a bad influence? Draymond that's just Draymond. You know, that's a lot of players got a lot of energy. Yep. And I believe that they got full championship behind Draymond, but they was in the Western Conference Finals at least 3 more years. Okay. That'd have been 7. Yep. That's 7 in the conference, right?
Yep.
Now Brad, thank you very much for the call. Appreciate it.
Really good points. I would say to you this, if you took a silent vote within that locker room. Now, listen, he has some theatrics on the floor during the games with the refs. But in terms of respect in the locker room, elder statesman, helping young players, I think you'd get a strong vote in his favor. I think you're right. This deal is huge if they get even close to doing it. This is ginormous. And frankly, Milwaukee would like to move Draymond on to another team. And that's not going to be easy because his salary is about, what, Kev, $25 million. So yep. The likelihood that they make that deal is not strong. Today, late in the day, they said Minnesota's offer is a little bit better. Now, is Kuminga going to get moved? I don't think there's much of a market out there for him right now. So I'm hoping the guy can come back. I'm hoping he can help the team. And he does his job. The team does theirs. And at the end of the year, if they agree then to move onward and upward, then it may be easier to find a partner to do a deal. But right now, I don't think it's going to be that easy because you have to keep in mind the Warriors don't want a longer-term contract. And that's very, very important for the future. They want to be in a great place when Butler and Draymond and Steph's contracts are up, which is after next season. So they're not going to take a guy with 4 years making a lot of money. That's not going to happen. They've got to manage their salary cap and have a game plan for the future. But, Brad, you make a lot of good points, and thanks for calling.
Yeah, thank you very much, Brad. The one thing with Giannis Antetokounmpo is that he's extension eligible October 1st, I believe the date is.
Yeah.
So any team that trades, whoever that is who trades for Giannis Antetokounmpo, probably is doing that with an extension in mind, right? Exactly. And it's not going to be a one-year extension either. So
no.
So it's going to be multiple years. So that is something that these teams are considering.
$55 million for four.
So there you go. So on average, that's $64 million a year, basically. And it's probably going to be going up. It's the one thing I can do. I can do some division for you. And it's probably not going to be 64 flat either, right? It might start at 60 to 62 to 64 to 67. Or you know, there's usually some escalators in there. So it's Phoenix on Thursday. Let's take a look at our upcoming broadcast presented by Ticketmaster. Then it's at the Lakers on Saturday, 5:30 tip time, 5 p.m. on the air. Yeah, a St. Jean special right there with Craig Coach and the Lakers.
Kev, they just came off an eight-game trip. Eight games,
yep.
We used to say in the old days when you didn't have cell phones that when you got back to your own house, you dialed 9 for an outside line because you were on the road so long. And, boy, they were back there in all the cold. They managed to go 5-3. They got Reeves back last night, which is really going to help them because they've struggled with their role players stepping into more positive positions. But their Lakers are another team. You know, as much as Phoenix is playing terrific, the Lakers have been, what am I going to say, treading water? They're playing solid, but they're not playing great. Luka made a pass. Kev, I don't know if you were flying. Luka made a pass last night to Ayton, and I said to my grandson, William, I said, whoa, watch this replay. It was Pete Maravich or Larry Bird. He looked away to the other bench, and then he fired one at Ayton. And how the heck Ayton caught it, I don't know. And he caught it and dunked it. But I was like, oh, my gosh, this is like, think about all the great passers we've ever had.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, he's a magician. That's why, I mean, they used to say Luka Magic when he was in Dallas. Like, he's got plenty of magic. Yeah. I mean, treading water, I think, is the right term for them. Like, they've been good. They've been fine. They're fifth in the West. Yeah. There's nothing to be ashamed about that. But I think Lakers fans are probably wanting for a little more than 30-19.
And you know what? They've been in one of my bottles.
One of your bottles.
Yeah. They're drinking.
Oh, yeah. All right. Wow. Travel brain, I guess. Yeah, I get what you're coming at now. But
All right.
LeBron James, how about this? All-star for the 22nd time, and he's averaging 22 points per game at the age of 41. I mean, 22 straight years as an all-star, 23 years in the NBA. I mean, he said recently after the game in Cleveland, this could be his last season. He hasn't ruled out retirement after this year.
I don't believe it.
I don't believe it either. How much longer do you think he played?
Kev, you know, I watched all their games on the road because of my son, Greg. And the crowds were amazing. It was the second most expensive ticket ever in the regular season average in the Garden, except when Kobe came in for his last trip. It was $905 for an average ticket. And that's the exact same way it is when the Warriors go on the road and people wanting to see Steph Curry play. And then, you know, the mom and dad, they want to bring the young guys or young girls to watch his warm up and all that kind of thing. And there he is signing autographs. And, you know, these guys, the two of them and Durant, I mean, they're generational players. And we've got guys, young guys coming up that are going to carry the torch. But, you know, we're watching these guys probably walking up the 18th fairway. And they're just fantastic ambassadors for the NBA.
Yeah, they absolutely are. You talk about Steph, LeBron, Kevin Durant, all in the twilight of their careers. You know, maybe 2-3 years left. We'll see. Just to finish up kind of the upcoming broadcast presented by Ticketmaster, then Monday, home against Memphis. Wednesday, home against San Antonio, presented by Ross for the Monday game, presented by DoorDash for the Spurs game on the 11th. All-Star break. Then they take on the Boston Celtics. That game Thursday, February 19th, presented by Sephora. So as we look to this upcoming road trip, I mean, I would love a split. These two teams are playing well. You don't know when Steph is exactly coming back with a runner's knee. Thankfully, it's not like a bad injury, but it's one of those kind of like you don't exactly know when he's going to be able to come back. But I would take 1-1, and I wouldn't ask any questions.
No, I'm with you. I think you just mentioned five games there before the break.
Yeah.
And if somehow
or four before the break and one after.
Four before the break? Okay.
If and one after, split,
If you can get a split. Yeah. Because I'm like you. I don't know when he's coming back. But if you, somehow you can get a split, that's terrific. Raise the Warrior flag.
Yeah, exactly. So got a few minutes left before we send it to the Seti Hart interview. Want to get your takes on some of the trades, and we can't get to all of them, but the big one today that no one really saw coming, Anthony Davis moved again in February. This time he's going to the Washington Wizards, and now they have Trae Young and Anthony Davis. We will see how much those guys play this year. But going forward, they have some intriguing young pieces. That front line that they could employ with Bilal Coulibaly there as well, kind of as your wing defender. They got an Alex Saar as a big man. The Wizards could quickly become a very intriguing team next season.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, it's a little bit like Utah. That's not a destination that free agents are going to try to go to. So they had to do these deals to get Young and Davis. And you mentioned those two young French guys, and they've got a bright upside. And, they're going to get a great draft pick, Kev. So, with that said, they stepped up. I think the old owner's still there, Ted Leonsis.
And
is he still there?
So I believe
somebody,
so.
So they really made a bold statement to try to climb the ladder again. I guess they're tired of being down, and good for them. I'm not telling you I know that Davis is going to be healthy or how Young's going to be, but they're taking a chance, and hopefully it works for them.
We got time for one more call to squeeze in here. We only got a couple minutes, but Thomas in San Mateo is on the line. What's up, Thomas?
Hey guys, good to talk to you. Appreciate your show.
Yep.
Hey, Tom.
Thank you.
Thanks. So I wanted to ask you gentlemen, so say we get Giannis, and we have a calf injury, which could possibly lead, which we've seen before, leads to a possible Achilles. What do we – Dr. Celebrity is one of the best, widely known as one of the best team doctors in all of sports. What's the process of the organization to make sure that, say we trade him, something terrible would happen? It doesn't happen.
Yeah. Tom, that's a great question. And what happens when you make a deal, you trade or you exchange all medical reports. And there was some double dribbling that went on with a deal with the kid Williams coming from Charlotte to the Lakers. And that's why they rescinded that deal, because they withheld some stuff. You have to be upfront with that. The league is right there with the league lawyers, and they check everything out. And obviously in today's world with these calf injuries, the scary thing is leading to an Achilles. So, Tom, you're right on. You have to be really diligent, and you make a great note about Celebrini. Steve Kerr and Mike and all the guys in the organization, he's earned everybody's respect. Nobody comes back until he gives the green light. Players respect him. Coaches respect him. I think ownership does too.
And congratulations to his son, Macklin Celebrini.
Yeah,
he's
holy
moly. Suiting up for Team Canada in the Olympics and is kind of really turned things around for the San Jose Sharks. As a proud San Josean myself, I'm super pumped about the Sharks really having a nice comeback here. But thank you very much for the call, Thomas, in San Mateo.
Thank you for joining the Warriors Roundtable on 95.7 The Game.
Step, left wing, three. Cha-ching! 58-41. Darvin Ham says, I want to take a timeout because this one is over.
For tickets, call 888-GSW-HOOP.
I'd say that was a pretty successful broadcast.